Welcome to the Morning Struggle Podcast. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Ty. We bring you habits of successful people. And today we're talking about
compulsive buying.
Let's buy some stuff. Activate. Sometimes I think you have ulterior motives for these episodes.
What?
Because I have been buying so much stuff.
Yeah.
So much stuff. Mm-hmm. Amazon comes to my house 3 or 4 times a day. Comes to our house. I swear.
I don't know why they don't put the packages together.
Well, because I buy it in half hour increments.
That's right.
And it takes them only 3 minutes to get to my house.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the drones. I'm just going to have my own drone from Amazon. It's going to have our name on it. It's just going to drop off little useless things every 30 minutes. So I get the bump in the dopamine. I get my mm-hmm. dopamine bumps. That's all I want.
I'm going to talk about that.
In fact, I think I'm going to start a company that just delivers empty boxes. You just get an empty box and you get all excited and then you just give it back.
Yeah, it just they come and pick
different
them up.
Different sizes, different colors. It's just Ooh. A box because you don't need that stuff.
That actually is not half bad.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the Morning Struggle Podcast, everybody. We bring you habits of successful people.
Yes.
Today we're talking about compulsive buying.
Yes.
So why we do it, how to stop doing it.
Yeah.
It's something that changes our chemistry in our brain.
Yeah. It's actually it plays on mechanisms in our brain.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to go into it and I'm very excited about this.
And like I said, I think you do this because I'm spending all the monies.
Yeah. A little calm A, calm B.
Okay. So yeah. All right. I'm excited for this one. If you can stop my compulsive shopping,
mm-hmm.
especially online.
When I'm in store,
and cash too. If I have cash or I'm in store,
uh-huh.
no way. This is mine. You're not taking it, yeah. Apple Store. But yeah. when I'm online, whoosh, yeah, sure, whatever. Mm-hmm. 2 paychecks, no big deal.
Take it.
I need those shoes. Those shoes are amazing. Okay, so let's get into a history. We do a history segment.
Yeah.
We do a science segment, a little coffee segment, and then an action plan.
Mm-hmm.
So we can take this and we can stop all that click and buy.
Yeah, because we're just trying to improve ourselves, right?
All right, I like it. Here we go.
This day in history.
So if you think my compulsive shopping is bad, I am going to go through some of the dumbest purchases and most one-sided purchases in the history of the world.
Oh, I'm very excited
for
this.
You ready? And some modern ones.
Uh-huh.
But here we go. First one, Jeannie Calment. I think her name is pronounced Calment.
Oh,
apartment sale. She's French.
Okay.
In 1975, a 90-year-old French woman, Jeannie, she made an agreement with André-François Raffray.
Ooh.
And he said, I'll pay you $500 a month for the rest of your life if you give me your apartment when you die. Little reverse mortgage.
Okay.
No big deal. Before yeah. reverse mortgages were a thing.
Right.
She says, that sounds great. I'm 90 years old. He says, she's 90. She's going to die tomorrow.
Yeah.
Not so much. 32 years later, she became the oldest person in the world.
She was living just to keep her apartment.
Yep.
That's
so
amazing.
It was a $90,000 valued apartment. He paid her $180,000 during that time frame. And the best part of the story is she actually outlived him. So she outlived Raffray.
Oh.
So he didn't even get a chance to enjoy the apartment.
Do you think that he still felt good about it? Or?
Well, he kept paying her.
That's
kept paying
true.
Her. So he was a man of his. He was a man of his word.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a picture of her, and she is smiley because she got took the wool over his eyes. The next one, Quaker's purchase of Snapple. So Quaker the brand, you know, the oats.
Oh
you
yes,
get
yeah.
You get your Quaker oats.
Okay.
Well, they bought Snapple, the tea company.
Okay.
This was I don't even know when this was. But they bought Snapple for $1.7 billion.
Whoa.
Analysts said, it's only worth $700 million. Why are you paying $1.7 billion?
Yeah.
I'm not good at math, but that's $1 billion more than you should be spending.
Right.
Well, Quaker quickly found out why it wasn't worth that much because they couldn't square away distribution and they were forced to sell it and lay off most of the staff only 2.5 years later
Aww.
For $300 million. $1.7 billion to $300 million. That's a lot of millions of dollars
Holy
that they lost.
Holy cow.
But they're still around. They're huge.
Wait, Snapple still exists. Do they like absorb the brand then?
I don't know. Yeah, they I think they split. They sold Snapple.
Oh, so and then it became its own.
Now it's under Nestle or whatever it is.
Interesting.
Nestle. So Treaty of Tordesillas.
Okay.
So the Treaty of Tordesillas, I think that's how you pronounce it. If you don't, email us at Jesse or at themorningstrugglepodcast@gmail.com
uh-huh.
and say, Ty, start working on your... on your names.
And then you get to be put in a raffle.
And you get to be put in a raffle. But This was between Spain and Portugal in the 15th century.
Okay.
There were a lot of treaties back in the day saying, yes. I want land, you want land. Instead of fighting, let's split the land.
Hmm.
Well, Spain is a sneaky devil, and Portugal's not the smartest cookie in the cookie jar, apparently.
Aww.
Because of poor maps and lack of knowledge of the Americas, Portugal got a little sliver of Brazil and the Amazon rainforest, very inaccessible.
Okay.
And Spain got North and South America, the rest of it.
Whoa,
yep,
really?
No big deal.
Oh, that's so sad. That's taking advantage of someone.
Yep, but that wasn't even as bad as the next one, News Corp buying MySpace. Do you remember MySpace?
I do.
MySpace was incredible. I was on MySpace. I had a band on MySpace.
You did have a band on MySpace.
I wish we still had MySpace. It was way better than the Facebooks.
I don't remember how it was any different.
I think it was way worse than the Facebooks. That's probably why it went under. But in 2006, News Corp decided to buy it for $520 million.
Whoa.
This is Rupert Murdoch's company. All of a sudden, Facebook came out, Twitter came out, and nobody used MySpace anymore. So 2 years later, they went from a $520 million purchase. They sold it for $35 million.
Whoa.
Yep. Next one, the Manhattan Sale. You've heard of this one. Where
I don't
the Native
think so.
Americans sold the island of Manhattan for a bunch of beads.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of. So in 1626, they sold Manhattan, the island of Manhattan, for 60 guilders, which would be about $950-something worth today.
Okay.
And this was sold to the Dutch.
Okay.
Now, back in the day, it was...
Wasn't it a swamp?
It was swampy. Yeah. It was really hard land. So it wasn't valuable then.
Yeah.
Now it's worth $3 trillion, something like
sure,
that.
Sure, because we've built it out.
Yeah,
because
it's worth over $1,000 a square foot.
What?
So they sold
cow.
A foot of it for the whole island. But back in the day, you're pretty wary. So there's no point in saying, well, that was a bum deal, because maybe the next country just comes in and takes it.
Yeah.
Like, the Dutch aren't in America anymore. The Dutch don't own Manhattan now. So what'd they get for it?
Yeah.
Probably nothing. Probably wooden clogs.
That's
it.
That's. I don't think that's how that works.
Yeah. The next one, John Fogerty's 14 album contract. Do you know who John Fogerty is?
Nope.
Do you know who Creedence Clearwater Revival is?
Nope.
Sometimes I just
I'm so sorry.
Don't understand how we share so much in common.
Right.
And then we are so far on different spectrums.
Yeah.
Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Do you have a t-shirt?
Do I have a t-shirt of Creedence? I probably do. And it probably doesn't have sleeves. So, but John Fogerty is the lead singer of Creedence Clearwater Revival, CCR. And he's
CCR, because it's so great. We need an abbreviation
for
it.
Yeah, absolutely do.
No.
They sing like Bad Moon Rising,
Down
on the Corner, all those great songs. Anyway,
they
signed a 14-album deal.
Okay.
This is great.
That's huge.
We're a band. 14 albums. You got it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make you 14 albums. 6 albums later, the band says, I hate you. I'm leaving. And they all split up. Well, you don't have the other 8 albums. You can't just create 8 albums via Zoom. Say, oh, we're not getting together because I hate your guts, but I'll Zoom album this one.
Yeah.
Nope, that doesn't happen. So what happened to John Fogerty? He lost all control of the band's music and was unable to perform any of their songs.
Aww.
Could you imagine writing all these songs that are amazing, and then you go to play as like a revival tour, and they say
you can't play
your own songs anymore.
Aww,
like T-Swift. Poor Taylor Swift.
I thought she was getting all of her songs back.
Well, she lost the recorded rights.
Oh, so
she
had
to re-record them.
At least she has the song rights.
Which was smart.
Yeah.
So anyway, the next one, AOL Time Warner merger. This was one of the worst business decisions ever made in the history of business for both sides.
Okay.
It was a $164 billion deal. It caught AOL paid for Time Warner, and then they lost $99 billion just 1 year later.
What? How does that even? How do you conceptualize $99 billion?
I mean,
you're just hemorrhaging money at that point.
It's the most money ever. Yeah, I don't understand how
That's
to conceptualize
crazy.
It. But then they split up, and now they're separate entities again. So remember,
are they successful?
AOL? You don't have dial-up AOL email?
Not,
or internet?
Not anymore, no.
Oh, that's too bad. Time Warner's still a huge conglomerate. Yeah,
oh.
They're still around. The next one, the Cuban-American Treaty. We talked about treaties.
Talk about treaties.
Right?
So many
In
treaties.
In 1903, Cuban-American Treaty, they negotiated a deal with the United States that would give the United States indefinite lease for a naval base.
Okay.
That makes sense, right?
I'm
the U.S. You
never
can't kick me out. And then I turn that naval base into Guantanamo Bay. So that probably wasn't the best thing for Cuba.
That's too bad.
And then the last one, and I love this one, the NBA, when it was in its infancy, there was another basketball league called the ABA.
So NBA, I actually know about this
versus ABA. Uh-huh. And they were trying to merge. Okay. And so some of the teams were getting kicked out. Oh. We're only taking four ABA teams. So what about the other teams? Hey, we need some cheddar. We want some of this pie because you're kicking us out. Yeah. Well, we're going to put up a big fuss and we're going to make it so our ABA becomes even better than your NBA.
Ooh.
Well, the NBA began to make deals with some of these franchises, and Ozzie and Daniel Silna, they negotiated a deal that would see them receive 1/7 of the television revenue that the four merged ABA teams would receive. So not the NBA teams, but the four ABA teams, they get 1/7 of the TV rights.
Okay.
Sounds okay. I mean, is TV even a thing? Who's got TVs? And I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, next thing you know, they got 2% of the league's total TV money.
Whoa.
2% of the NBA.
Okay.
Well, just a few $100,000 initially. So yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's
fine. Nobody watched TV. We all come to the games. We want to see the guys in their short shorts doing the sky hooks. All of a sudden, it becomes a mega organization. And in 2010, it rose to $19 million that these two brothers got. And then the NBA eventually bought them out for $500 million. So they didn't have to pay them any more TV rights.
That is crazy.
So if you want to make big bucks, start a minor league team that gets absorbed by the majors.
That's right. That's And get 2% of whatever.
Yep. And then whatever media rights you get. There you go. That's it. That's all I got.
That's really cool.
That's your history segment. Anyway, compulsive buying. That's why. If you didn't want to compulsively buy Time Warner Television for $165 billion, you would have just been fine. We probably would all have AOL high-speed internet right now.
Maybe.
But now it's just a catchphrase on the Instawebs. So anyway, that's all I got.
Cool.
We got some history coming up. Then we're going to do some...
History. We just did the history.
That's right. Sorry, the science. I'm all over the place this morning. And then we'll do an action plan on how to stop compulsive buying?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Chaos like a controller,
okay, so compulsive buying or shopping disorder is actually not a disorder. It's not in the DSM. What it is...
What is the DSM?
The DSM is all of our diagnostic criteria for mental disorders.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not technically a disorder.
No, but it falls under the other impulsive compulsive disorders.
Whoa, other. It's in the other category.
It's in the other category. It can also fall under the hoarding disorder, which is an actual... diagnosis.
Okay.
So it kind of depends on the elements of that.
All right. Makes sense.
Okay. So what is happening when we are online shopping? Because online shopping is actually a really big issue, is that we're having short-lived dopamine responses.
So dopamine, tell everybody what dopamine. Dopamine's the pleasure hormone in your brain.
Yeah, it's the reward system. So our brain is telling us that we like this, we're going to continue it.
So you did a good job. Here's some dopamine.
Yep, exactly. Okay. So this is why this is a problem, because online shopping, there's ease of access, so I can get a hit of dopamine whenever I want.
Yeah, it's on your phone.
It's on your phone.
It's in your pocket all the time.
Literally right now. And then the anonymity, can you say that word for me?
Nope, but I think you did a great job.
Perfect. So what it is that
You're anonymous.
So the thing is that a lot of these behaviors are hidden and unobserved by other people.
Yeah.
Even your significant other or within a household, it can be very, very hidden.
It's incognito until the packages start showing up.
Exactly. And so it removes the shame and the accountability to the actual shopping.
Is shopping shameful? What about the pretty woman when she comes in with all the bags? So you work on commission. Huge mistake.
No, big mistake.
Big mistake. Huge.
Yeah, that's the actual
quote. Shopping no longer like that? Shopping now is more shameful?
Well, but it is, if let's say you're doing it impulsively, doing it all the time, but no one is seeing it. You're not walking around with a bunch of bags. Your boxes are just showing up on your door.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
And then the escapism of it. We are very stressed out as a culture. Our cortisol levels are very high, and we don't have the roller coaster that we're looking for, actually, for cortisol. So we have a lot of swelling within the body. And so the body is looking for ways to not necessarily reduce the cortisol, because it doesn't know how to do that, but to make it so we feel a little better. And dopamine is the quickest way to feel a little better.
Okay, so back in the day, we'd go hunt for berries. We'd find some berries. We'd get really excited. We'd mm-hmm. fight a tiger. Mm-hmm. And then we'd go sleep by the fire with a belly full of berries.
Yes.
Now we just reach in our pocket and there's an endless amount of berries in our pocket.
Yeah, but they're not as satisfying. There's not a long-term...
Because they're all squished. And they're warm. And they're kind of just because they've been in your pocket all day.
They're in your pocket. Yeah. But it's not as satisfying because there's only little pieces of dopamine or little hits of dopamine.
Not big old hits.
And it's not a longevity piece. So like if you're having all these boxes come, you might get little hits, but you don't necessarily have the long-term dopamine that would come along with like a very healthy version of this reward system.
A big reward.
Yes. So the escapism for that, we're trying to reduce our cortisol, but we're not doing it properly.
So we want to escape from all of our stresses and everything mm-hmm. because our cortisol is really high, mm-hmm. but then we're shooting the tank with a BB gun.
Yes.
Okay.
Like it's just not going to work, but we feel like it's going to, so it helps alleviate that for a split second, but not long term.
Okay.
So you are designed to fail. Online shopping is made specifically to play on the brain mechanisms of a human. And this is my tinfoil hat a little bit, where this is really upsetting because it's taking advantage of mechanisms in the brain in order to profit off of that, not necessarily benefiting the human.
Okay, what are we talking, algorithms?
Well, so there's a couple of things. So pleasure. It's playing on pleasure. So websites are specifically colored, and the way, you know how they have the block system where you have like three different dresses in a line and then you scrolled. I guess you don't shop for dresses very often.
I do all the time. And I know what you're talking about exactly.
But even like Amazon, the way that they line it up, it specifically plays on the way that our brain triggers dopamine. And so how colorful it is and how it's actually arranged creates more pleasure in the brain.
Because if it was like the wild, there'd just be icons everywhere. And some would be hidden and some would be more apparent and it'd be all disorganized.
Yes, but this is like, look at all these items. Yep. You could have all these items. There's also product diversity. So if I put in high-heeled shoes, I'm going to get a vast amount of options, right?
Right.
And how this plays onto it is it promotes scrolling and purchasing within the items. So I might need some shoes.
Right.
Right? And then suddenly I go through and I'm seeing boots and high heels and flats and all these different things. So I'm hunting through them, but I'm only hunting within those products, not within the actual need.
Oh, so you need some boots because it's snowing outside. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, you got sandals.
Yeah. And you're like, what is happening? Like, okay. How did I do that? But you're hunting, the way that the product is diverse makes it so you're actually purchasing more items and you're finding that you quote unquote need more things. When you actually don't. You didn't need sandals, but all of a sudden you have sandals showing up.
Oh, it makes sense. All right.
Isn't that interesting? And then mobile payments. You were talking about this where the money doesn't feel real. Like if it's actual cash that you're giving someone.
So we've been giving kids Apple Cash. And mm-hmm. when we, instead of giving them $20 mm-hmm. to go to the store and buy some candy or whatever it is, which is $20. The candy's expensive now. But we give them the Apple Cash.
Yeah.
And it, before it's here's 10 or $5, whatever it is.
Yeah, like you have removed it from your pocket and given it to someone else.
And you feel loss. Mm-hmm. But pushing the button, it's like, oh, how much do you need? How much is candy? I'll just give you $100.
Yes, you gave them $100?
Candy's expensive. I told you. That's what our daughter said. Expensive. She said, I need $100.
Oh my goodness, you didn't get
it. It's not real money. It's just on the phones.
Exactly. So it creates a psychological distance from the financial loss. So
that
it doesn't
makes
feel like
sense.
It's real money.
It absolutely doesn't feel like it's real money.
Yeah. Isn't it? Okay. And so we're more likely to part with that than we are with an actual physical
because we are loss adverse as human beings, right?
Yes.
You talked about that before. We don't like losing things.
Right. But they've taken out this issue by making it a mobile
payment.
So now
you're not losing your money because you're mm-hmm. just clicking a button.
Yep.
I haven't lost a single thing. In fact, I gained it by pushing a button.
Yeah. And you got that dopamine response. You actually get the dopamine response because it's almost like playing a game.
Yeah. It's a slot machine.
Yeah. It's like you've given it away. So the mechanism of the product diversity and then the mobile payments creates it goes down the reward system in such a way that you start searching among the items And then you start shopping for things you don't need, because it's kind of like a rabbit hole situation where you start off at one point and then suddenly you're six paces down the line and you're buying like cat mittens, right?
Next thing you know, you're at the Mad Hatter's tea party.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, what happened?
Right.
And that's, but those two factors play on the reward system in such a way that it will take you down that rabbit hole much quicker.
Interesting.
Yeah. Some other factors that play into this: personalization. So we've talked about this, how your phones listen to you.
Yes, they do.
What was the thing that we were talking about and that showed up, an ad showed up?
I can't remember, but trust me.
It was something bizarre.
Just talk about something weird that you've never searched before, you never will search. Mm-hmm. An ad will pop up on your phone for that thing, almost guaranteed.
Yeah, because all of our devices are listening to us to find cues, like Siri and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if... It'll create a profile for you. So I'm an active person, right? I'm looking at mountain bikes or whatever, that kind of thing. And I have also bought dog toys. So therefore, I must have a dog, right?
Next thing you know, Chewy ads.
Yeah, the Chewy ads. Or an active dog owner, all of a sudden, dog booties. Those dog hiking booties.
Mm-hmm.
I got an ad for that. And I'm like, I would never buy dog booties. I can't say never.
But I'm going to buy them right now. That sounds like an amazing idea.
But it personalizes. It's trying to predict what you're going to purchase.
Uh-huh.
Or things that you would maybe want to buy, but then it shows you why you need them.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then influencers. So not just on social media, but just in general, like Taylor Swift. I can't believe I used her nickname. Taylor Swift,
uh-huh.
That young lady,
uh-huh.
Had a specific necklace. It showed up on the Fox News.
The Whoa.
Specific necklace. And then I guarantee that helped the sales of that specific necklace brand.
Right.
Right. So the influencers, not only on social media, but in like day-to-day advertising, makes it so our anterior cingulate cortex, the ACC, engages. And what that is that's social distress.
We talked about it. The ACC gives you social, or it regulates social distress.
Yeah, it's looking for it. It's paying attention to if you have had some sort of social faux pas.
Because you don't want to get kicked out of the tribe and then
mm-hmm.
get eaten by lions.
Yeah.
So it says, hey, be like everybody else.
Yes. And
okay.
So Taylor Swift is wearing this specific necklace. My ACC is engaged because it's like, oh, I don't have that necklace. She's wearing that and I'm not wearing that. Social distress. So then our brain seeks dopamine to feel better within a social context. So I am more likely to purchase that necklace simply because
Someone else is wearing it.
Not someone's
because
successful.
Like it, you know,
someone else
not
is,
because you need it.
Yeah.
Just because someone successful has it and you want to fit in.
Yes.
And not get kicked out.
Out of the tribe. Well, and I was looking into delayed gratification because I'm like, well, doesn't this play into delayed gratification because I purchase it, but I'm not walking out of the store with it. I have to wait for my Amazon box to get there, right?
Right.
So online shopping plays weird into this human mechanism where when you're waiting for an item, you are more likely to buy other items.
Okay.
Okay, so you're waiting for your item, you're buying more items, even though that original item increases in desire because you have to wait for it.
Oh, you want it more because you're not getting it, so you
mm-hmm.
buy more stuff.
So you buy more things, and then, so the packages are coming, you're getting your dopamine response, even if it's not your desired item, you're still getting the dopamine response with the opening the packages, and then when the packages stop coming, you actually miss that dopamine response, and so you seek out that stimulus again by purchasing more items.
It makes sense.
It
makes sense why these companies are so successful.
Yeah, because you're continually... So this half an hour buying where we're getting separate boxes, that's exactly what it is. It's this delayed gratification, but it plays so weird on the way that the brain is processing it that you actually go out and buy more items. It is fascinating.
It is fascinating. Okay. That's what we have for the science?
That's what we have for science, yep.
Man, okay, I thought I was just being helpful by buying all these extra things, but apparently...
So many dog booties.
Apparently, it's really close to a disorder, and I may be a hoarder.
Okay. No.
All right, so here we go. All right, let's get into a quick coffee segment,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll get action planning, so you can break that cycle. Is that what we're going to do?
Yes, we're going to break that
I
cycle.
I like it. I want to break this cycle. Here we go.
I drank pots and pots and pots and pots of strong black coffee, trying to keep my sleepy soul awake. But the sleeping kindness still comes along, and when it does, it's fast and strong. I end up with a bad case of the shakes.
Since we're talking about buying things, I'm going to tell you the most expensive coffees you can buy.
The one that the animals eat and then poop out.
Yeah, some of them. So I have a few of them. So St. Helena Coffee, there is a remote island. It's in the South Atlantic Ocean.
Okay.
And they only produce a certain amount of plants and beans. So it's super rare and there's a limited production, but it's very high value because it's volcanic.
Ooh, volcanic soil.
Yeah, which is a big deal. And so if you want the St. Helena coffee, it's $80 a pound.
It's expensive.
Are you kidding me? Are you like, oh, that's average?
I mean, like Kirkland's brand is $6 a pound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, a little bit more.
$80 a pound? I could not even fathom spending that much money. Black Blood of the Earth. Let me go into this.
Volcanic soil, I'm guessing.
Nope.
Oh.
So it is a concentrated coffee drink made by the cold water extraction of the oils, and then it has the essence of the ground coffee bean and has a reduction in acidity. So it's a very specific process that they do.
Sounds like they just cold brew it. They just put it in a garbage bag, and then they let it ferment, and then they dump it out.
No. It's actually, it's a guarded secret.
How much is this coffee, this garbage bag coffee?
So hold on. So a garbage bag, what?
Yeah.
So it produces a strong, flavorful brew.
Yeah, cold brew.
Less bitter.
Cold brew.
Yep. With 20 to 40 times more caffeine, which actually happens with cold brew.
Cold brew.
So this
person invented cold brew or is trying to say that they invented cold brew?
Well, they won't tell you the process.
Oh, because they put it in a garbage bag. And then how much is this thing?
$300 per pound.
That is so dumb.
Isn't that crazy?
All right.
Okay, so there is I'm going to butcher this. The Kopi Luwak and coffee.
Okay.
And it's civet coffee. And civet is a small mammal in the Philippines.
Uh-huh. And they eat it.
They eat it. And then they discrete it.
They don't discreetly. They're all over the place. They're just pooping out coffee beans.
And then people are picking it out of the poo.
Okay.
And then they clean it, right?
I would hope. Yeah. Maybe it's part of the flavor profile, but I don't know.
And then you brew it.
Yeah.
Yep.
We've never had this kind of coffee. We said we're going to get this kind of coffee.
And this is why we're not going to. So it's $600 per pound for one thing. But then this is actually an animal...
cruelty thing.
Yeah, it's an animal.
Like they capture these animals and put them in cages and then feed them
coffee
beans.
They're in cages, and it's really sad because it's all metal cages,
okay.
So they don't have any place to be. So we are never having this coffee, and I think it's, I mean, it's kind of gross first off anyway.
Yeah.
But like...
I guess it changes the acidity and chemical profile of the coffee bean.
Because it's digested first.
Digested.
Because it's the coffee cherries that they're digesting.
Yeah.
And they also don't allow them to eat anything else. And so
maybe,
that's yucky.
Maybe you should know where your coffee comes from. Some mm-hmm. fair trade coffee. Yeah, you'll spend a little bit more.
Yeah.
But you won't be torturing animals or people picking the coffee beans won't be living in the mud.
Yeah. So,
okay.
So
all right.
Yeah. So we're not going to have this ever, but $600 a pound.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Okay. And then we have Hacaria La Esmeralda coffee.
Okay.
And this is in Panama. And it is a very specific variety of coffee bean that was only found in this area. And no one else is allowed to grow this.
Okay.
And it is $350 per pound.
Okay.
But it's very rich and flavorful taste. And coffee connoisseurs say that this is legitimate.
Like this fair trade. It's really good.
It is genuinely good, worth your $350 a pound.
Yeah, because when you throw a bunch of cream and sugar in there, you can't taste the coffee anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why not?
It's
why
fine.
Why not?
It's totally good. And then the last one that I'm going to go over is the Black Ivory Coffee. And this is very rare and very expensive coffee out of Thailand. And
it's made from elephant husks elephant tusks.
No, it is digested, it's fed to elephants. And then they go through the droppings of the elephants. Apparently, these elephants have been saved from tourist trade abuse, and the animals are humanely taken care of.
So this one, this kind of poop coffee, you can drink.
Because they allow the animals to eat other things.
Right.
And so they have, like, shifts of the elephants where they only work certain days, mm-hmm. so they only have to eat coffee a certain amount. This whole process of having animals eat something specifically so you can take it out of their poop, see, it still seems kind of inhumane to me because, like, does the elephant want to eat the coffee? I don't know. They say they do. Everybody needs a job, and so do they. But, so this is really interesting. So it was $500 per pound.
Okay.
But recently, in the last few months, it went up to $900.
Whoa, inflation is killing these elephants.
Yeah, so they need to get paid.
They do need to get paid.
$900 per pound for the black ivory coffee.
Oh, well, the elephants have been shopping on Amazon lately. They've been really compulsively buying things. And they need their monies.
Oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine spending that kind of money on a pound of coffee. Oof.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's amazing. We don't know.
I don't know.
We should go on the internet and buy some.
I don't want to buy some poop
all
coffee.
Right. I like it, though. That's good to know. It's good to know that there's some good and some bad. Sometimes you might buy one and say, I'm going to drink this with my friends because it's fun and exciting. Mm-hmm. But hey, don't drink this one because they're torturing animals.
Yeah. And okay. You should pay attention to where your coffee is sourced, because coffee's one of those things where some places are very fair mm-hmm. in what they're paying everybody and all that, and then other places are not.
Yes.
So it's important you know where your coffee is coming from.
All right. I like it. Good PSA for everybody.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into the action plan. We'll get back into compulsive buying. We'll get in the action plan, and you're going to stop everybody from buying.
Yep.
And
sorry, Jassy's
going to call us. And he's gonna put a cease and desist order on us, guaranteed, because mm-hmm. you single-handedly will make everybody stop clicking on the Amazon so much.
Exactly.
All right, here we go.
Let's hope you make the most of it, my boy.
Okay, so the first thing I want you to pay attention to is know where your issue is. Okay, so is it grocery buying? Are you adding extra things in your grocery cart? Is it, and this is online for the most part, but Amazon random buys, like they have the little ads that pop up, or
Amazon
they have
deal
like their,
of the day.
Their deals. Yeah. The deal of the day. Is that an issue that you're perusing that? Late night purchases, I guess, is a big statistic one where it's, you know, midnight and you can't sleep, so you're buying shoes for your cats.
Sure.
Like those kind of things. So kind of know where your issue is and where that veil kind of gets thin and the place you need to be protective.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then you're going to create buying span bans or wait periods.
Oh, this is the put it in your cart and then go back the next day.
Yeah. And I mean, they talk about, you know, use cash and do this kind of thing. We're in a modern world. You're going to buy things online. That's where I get all of our groceries.
Right.
Like, so this
is
not
easy and convenient.
Well, and it's how I'm going to do it. But then how do we set ourselves up for success? So there's the three ways. So you can have the buying span bans. So like you said, you have a wait period, you put it in your cart, whatever the thing is. You wait a week for like a bigger item. Like you really sleep on it a couple of nights.
I notice if you write it down in pencil.
Oh, yes.
If you read down on a piece of paper, you go, well, why would I need cat booties? Yes. When I actually write it down, it looks a lot more ridiculous than when it's in my shopping cart.
My cats don't even go outside.
Yeah,
what
exactly.
are you talking about?
Okay.
Yeah, so if you're bulking up these items, that can help. And what this does is it reduces the dopamine bumps, the little bumps that you get. Instead, it makes it a sustainable dopamine reward system because you have thought it through, you've been productive. It just is better for your brain and the specific reward system. Also with that, it regulates box excitement.
So you don't have the box excitement.
Yeah. So this is an actual research term now, box excitement, where even the dogs, like someone's in the yard, so they're like, ruff, ruff, ruff. But they get excited that there's a box because they feel that there's going to be a reward in the box.
Yeah,
Isn't
exactly.
Isn't that crazy? It's like, ugh, even our animals. So creating those spans of time would be helpful. Do literally anything else when doom shopping. Okay.
So this is the scrolling at midnight, whatever
mm-hmm.
it is.
Okay. When you start finding yourself in this process, because it's going to be hard. So when you're doing that, I want you to find literally anything else to do. So get into nature, do a hobby, like an actual physical hobby. I always go to knitting because I love knitting, but it can be like painting or drawing or...
Knitting is great because it uses both hands and it's repetitive.
You can't scroll.
Can't do anything else.
Yep. You can't scroll when you're knitting. So Any type of art is really good. Calling a buddy, talking to someone in your home. And what you're doing is you're trying to get dopamine from something else. So when we find that we're getting these little dopamine bumps from shopping, and just scrolling will give you little bumps like, ooh, what would that be like if I entertained my family and I had these new dishes?
Right.
Like this kind of thing. So you're removing that and you're putting that dopamine into an actual physical thing, like talking to another human being or creating something will help create a long-term reward system within your dopamine system. Because it's really those reward systems that are at play here.
Okay. So it doesn't matter what it is. Mm-hmm. Something else.
Make it public. So this is a hard one because all of your purchases you should be able to say, I bought this and we're all good with it.
Right.
So you don't necessarily need to tell your neighbors about your dog booty obsession.
Okay.
Right. But if you have anyone else in your house, if you have a parental unit, if you have a buddy that you can have, just talking about where you're having a hard time and the things that you're purchasing.
Yeah, it's just, I'm going to go buy this thing and say it out loud before you buy it.
Yeah.
Because then odds are the person's going to say, why do you need that?
Yeah.
You need a second vacuum?
Yes. Like,
yeah, for the basement. Yeah. Because it's so hard
every
to
floor.
Walk my vacuum downstairs.
Yeah.
And then you say, oh, okay.
Yeah. So
all right, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then when you need to shop, because we all need to get our stuff, I'm going to get the groceries on the app, right? Know what you're buying. So make a list ahead of time and then why you're doing it. So if you're going to buy new running shoes, for example, you should probably have it on a list somewhere that you need new running shoes and why you need new running shoes.
Right. So are your current running shoes old and need to be discarded?
Yes.
Are you really excited to get into running? And do you have a running plan or a goal, like a marathon or a 5K, whatever you're doing? There's got to be that why, as you're saying.
Yeah, you have to have the why. And this is the example that I have is, what was it, a month ago? I wanted to buy a treadmill.
Yes, you did.
I wanted to buy a treadmill because for a couple of reasons. I didn't want to leave the house.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to get fit. And I thought that would motivate me to do that. The silly thing is I could just run outside because there's not that much. It's not that cold.
The earth is your treadmill. The earth just spins around and you just are staying in place.
Or I can just go to the gym if it's cold.
Yeah.
Like we already, that's the thing is we already have a gym membership. And so I'm wanting to buy a treadmill for what reason? And so I came very close to buying a treadmill. Very, very close. And the only reason I didn't is because I talked to you about it.
You did talk to me about it. We went, well, what about the treadmills at the gym?
He said,
well, but that's all the way over there.
I said, okay, 10 minutes away.
What about going outside? You know what? Maybe I don't need a treadmill anymore.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so if you're looking for those bigger like product deals, not just like your daily food consumption kind of a thing, you should really be talking to a buddy and being like, does this make sense? Because if I want to get into mountain biking and I've researched and I really think I'm going to do it, I should probably buy a mountain bike.
Right.
That makes sense.
Right.
But if I am already have a gym membership and I run outside, I like running outside better anyway, why in the world would I buy a treadmill?
You're just because you want to click. You want some dopamine.
Yep. I want some dopamine and I think it's supplying something else when really it's not.
Okay.
Okay. So know, when you're going to shop, know what you're going to buy. So make a list and then why you're buying it.
Okay.
Okay. Involve your buddy. That's always helpful. And then if you're really having a problem with this, if this is like a financial, because it can be financially devastating because we're talking about more of like average human use of compulsive buying, this can actually be a very devastating disorder. So if you're getting to that spot where it's financially distressing, your significant other, your partner is saying, hey, this is a real big problem, I want you to go out and find actual specific help, a therapist, a psychiatrist, whoever, who specifically works with this kind of disorder, because this can be very difficult to curb because this is something that we need. Like, this is in this economic standing that we're at, a lot of things are online.
So
right?
we have to live in this world. So you might as well find a way to be successful at
to
it instead
healthy.
Of saying, I'm just going to buy cash for everything. And then you say, well,
because we have tried that.
We tried that.
And
it's super
impossible.
Hard to get some of these unique items that really kind of in better or enrich your life.
Yeah.
With paying cash for it. You can't send Amazon cash.
No,
you just,
exactly.
You can't.
Exactly. So make it healthy. Find help if you can't get there.
Okay. I like it. That it?
Yep.
That's our action plan.
Yep. So know your issue, where your issue is.
Yep.
Create buying a span or a wait period, whatever that is for you.
You don't get your immediate dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do any, like come up with a plan. Otherwise, if you're finding yourself having that impulse.
Do something else.
Literally anything else.
Bring in a partner.
talking to your buddy. Yep. Make it public. So that's part of the buddy part of that. And then if you need to shop, know what and why.
The what and why of shopping.
Yep.
And then you just buy things that you actually like and enjoy.
And that you'll use.
And that you'll use. Yes. And then you won't have the anxiety that you have to get something super quick.
Yes, exactly.
All right. This one's good. I like it. I'm not going to lie. I like just the dopamine hits.
Yeah, of course. We all do.
I'm addicted. And this one's going to be a really hard one to curb. But I think I'm going to try this one. I'm going to do the shopping cart, mm-hmm. The delayed shopping cart. I'm going to talk to someone about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's trying to find the best deal. Yes. I'm a best deal kind of guy.
Yeah. And you'll scroll for hours.
I'll scroll
to
for
do that.
Hours to save 10 bucks.
Yeah.
So my time, my time is worthless. So and we're good.
But that's part of the hunt of it, right? Is
right.
When you find that deal, the dopamine dump is heavier. Because you found the deal.
Yep.
Okay. Even though it's $10 difference.
Exactly. Yep. Okay. All right. I like it. We're going to do this one. I'm going to incorporate it. There's a lot of stuff incorporating.
So yeah. It's a lot of things.
Just real quick. On these episodes, pick and choose.
Oh,
don't
yes.
try
yeah.
to do them all. But hey, if you find an area where you really want to improve or where you're really struggling with, mm-hmm. maybe start with that one. Take it slow. Know you're going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
We fail on most of these. And yeah. then just kind of keep trying to make them better.
Well, because some of these episodes will just be some insightful things to think about. Out when
right.
you're shopping, online shopping, that kind of thing. And then others, you can actually like completely adopt that habit
right.
and be like, I'm going to work on this over this 4-week span, 6-week span or whatever. But either way, I think the knowledge is power in that way where you understand that online shopping is playing on like a reward system. So now you have that knowledge so that you can make an educated choice when you go through that.
I love it. Well, thank you everybody for joining. We couldn't do this without you. We really appreciate it. Spread the word, share
yes.
with your friends, and go out there and
build a better you.
Thanks, guys.